The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Happy Friday to you. Thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I am very excited to be in a series with you called What's in the GES Bookstore? You may not have known this, but GES publishes and carries a lot of wonderful books that you can access by going to faithalone.org. Now, today, we're going to talk about two special books that are very important for understanding the gospel, one called Absolutely Free and another called A Gospel of Doubt. I got the great opportunity to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin and discuss these two books. I want to share that discussion with you right now here on Grace in Focus.
Hey, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Hey, Bob. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Lucas.
So today, Bob, as you know, we are continuing in our, we'll call it a mini-series, an exciting mini-series called What's in the Bookstore. And we're going through just some of the, could I call them iconic? Some of the historic books that you guys
produced. I'm a little reluctant calling any of my books iconic, but okay. Maybe ironic or idiotic, yeah. Or whatever. No, that's what my opponents say, that they're idiotic or stupid or something.
Well, you know, for the people that have grasped the truth in these, I really do think they are literally life-changing. People's lives have been changed by the work that you guys have done over the years. And I think a great example of that is one that we want to talk about today, which is called Absolutely Free,
yes,
by Zane Hodges. And it has, in hardcover, you can open the book up and you can find the subtitle. The subtitle is A Biblical Reply to Lordship Salvation. So what can you tell us about this book, Bob?
Yeah,
what was going on?
It came out in 1989. It was a response to John MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus, the first edition. Zondervan produced both, and they wanted Zane Hodges to write a point-by-point, chapter-by-chapter, section-by-section response to MacArthur.
Okay.
Well, Zane didn't think that would be a timeless book, so he decided to write a reply to the bigger issue of Lordship Salvation, and he did mention MacArthur, but in endnotes. And so he wrote the book. It influenced many people. In fact, Zondervan actually put it in book displays all over the country in bookstores.
Wow.
And it would say, "Must I make Christ Lord of my life to be saved?" MacArthur, yes. Hodges, no.
I didn't know that.
And,
wow.
And this book has sold. There were 25,000 printed in hardback alone. We carry it in softback now. I don't know how many thousands we've sold of it. So it's sold a lot of copies. I think part of the reason why it hasn't sold as much as The Gospel According to Jesus is because Lordship Salvation is much more prevalent than Free Grace Position. And besides that, Lordship Salvation is not only held by Calvinists, but it's held by Arminians.
Yeah.
I still remember a kind of ironic story that MacArthur himself told about how a group of professors from Brigham Young University came to see him at Grace Community Church.
Which Brigham Young is of what?
Mormon.
Or
Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
They told him that his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, was required reading in their religion courses at BYU.
Wow.
And he laughed and said, well, they sure must not have understood the book.
No.
And I thought,
they probably did.
I think they got it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that because for a time in my life, I would actually seek out Mormon missionaries because I wanted to both understand what they were teaching, but also I wanted a chance to try to talk to them about the gospel. One of the things that struck me is that the presentation is not all that different. Now, some of the ancillary celestial kingdom stuff is a bit different, but on what you actually have to do to get into the celestial kingdom and stuff like that in Mormon thought, it sounds kind of similar to just Lordship Salvation. In fact, these missionaries told me once that Jesus paid the big debt that I couldn't pay, and now he has given me a small debt that I can pay.
Wow.
Like, wow, okay, well, that's Lordship Salvation, basically.
Right.
So for this book, Absolutely Free by Zane Hodges, what was its response like? What kind of comments has your ministry gotten over the years based on readers of this book?
Well, lots of people have had their lives changed by this book. I remember one pastor was given a copy of Absolutely Free near the beginning of his ministry. He had graduated from seminary a few years before, and he was maybe in his year two or three of his pastorate. And somebody said, you ought to read this book. Mm. It's presenting a view that's quite refreshing.
Yeah.
So the guy had heard of Hodges and heard about his grace position and thought it was garbage. Mm. And so he just stuck it in his briefcase, and it sat in his briefcase for like 6 months. And finally, one day, the guy saw it in his briefcase and said, well, I need to either throw this out or read it or something. So he said, Lord, I know this is garbage, but if there's something in there for me, wow. I'm open. Show me. He read the book. He became free grace.
Wow.
And he changed his whole ministry. Started teaching you can be sure and you should be sure. And that wow. when you believe in Christ, you're believing his promise of everlasting life. And there are lots of people like that that were yeah. influenced by this book. And there are lots more, like me and many others, who are bolstered. We already believed in Zane's basic position,
yeah.
but he gave us so much to help us understand the scriptures better. It's like the scriptures open up when you understand the principles he's talking yeah. about, and absolutely free.
Well, I've got another book here that sort of accomplishes something similar called A Gospel of Doubt. It's by someone called Robert N. Wilkin.
That's me also.
And the subtitle on this one is The Legacy of John MacArthur's The Gospel According to Jesus. It feels like this one is dealing with some of the same subject matter. So tell us a little bit about the situation that led to this.
I often felt that it would be helpful if we had a chapter-by-chapter response to MacArthur's book.
Kind of like what Zondervan wanted.
What Zondervan wanted originally. In fact, section by section. And it wouldn't be something to replace Absolutely Free, because there is no replacing this classic work. It would be doing something a little different.
Yeah.
And so I was actually trying to go through the book section by section, and that's what I did. And the title, A Gospel of Doubt, comes from David Engelsma, and he's a five-point Calvinist oh. who said that the Puritan theology, which is the theology of many English Calvinists,
yeah.
is essentially a gospel of doubt.
Wow.
Because people go through their whole lives doubting where they're going to go when they die, and yeah. then they die in doubt.
Wow.
And he said yeah. that's a tragic position. And I think that's John MacArthur's position. In fact, I have a picture on the front of a person with their head bowed yeah. praying, and it's like they would like to know
yeah.
where they're going when they die, but they don't.
Wow.
And so in this book, I think it lays out, well, every chapter, like, for example, the first chapter, what does Jesus mean when he said, follow me? That's MacArthur's first chapter. And by the way, I based this book, I think it was, what, 2015, if I remember right? Yeah, 2015. And I based this on, it does quote from all three editions at times, but mostly from the third edition.
Okay.
And then the second one is a look at the issues, and then he calls for new birth. And every section within every chapter is the same section title that MacArthur had.
So you could actually read this right along with
Absolutely.
John MacArthur's.
Now,
wow.
there,
okay.
there might be a few of them where I took a slightly different section title, or maybe I left one out for the sake of space.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it tracks with his book. And it's kind of like me dealing with what he's saying all the way along.
Yeah.
And I tried to keep the length of the book very comparable to his.
Okay.
This is about 300 pages, yeah. and the Gospel According to Jesus is about 300 pages. So I was trying to make it, you know, it wouldn't be fair if he wrote 300 pages and I wrote 1,000.
yeah.
Or if, yeah. if he wrote 300 and I wrote 50.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep it about the same length and discussing his points. And ultimately, I showed my thesis is in the title.
Yeah.
That MacArthur's gospel is well-intentioned, but it's a gospel of doubt.
Gospel of doubt, yeah.
And you can't believe what he says without coming away with doubts.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wants.
Yep.
He wants people to go through life saying, I'm confident I'm probably born again, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
And I need to persevere in order to prove it. And so there's this nagging doubt that's supposed to help me in my Christian life.
Yeah. So if I wanted to get the closest thing to a Wilkin MacArthur debate, I would take these two books and lay them open, and I could read them through, and I could, I mean, would you say that it's a fair debate? I mean, or is it more like you're responding to what MacArthur said?
Yeah, it's more I'm responding, because if it was truly a debate, he would then write
a
response
to
my
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do that, or we put them both in the same book. So I realize that I'm giving my side of the debate without yeah. him responding. But the truth is, his book is basically his response, because
yeah.
he hasn't gone back on any of those views.
Yeah.
I like to think that John MacArthur is very well intentioned. I happen to agree with him on many, many things. He's got a high view of marriage. He's got a high view of the family. He's got a high view of verse-by-verse Bible teaching. He believes, like I do, in inerrancy. There are no errors in the Bible.
Yeah.
On so many issues, we're simpatico. But on the most important issue, what must I do to be saved, we have different views. But what's interesting is he changed his view.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in 1989, I was at a meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society giving a little side paper in front of 40 people or something. And he gave a main paper in front of about 2,000.
Hmm.
It was interesting that after my side paper, I had five people from his church, Grace Community Church, and they came up and talked to me after. We sat around and talked for about 15 minutes. And they said, we've been in the church, this was 1989, just after the Gospel According to Jesus came out. And they said, you know, John, up until 1980, held your view.
Oh, wow.
It's simply by faith, apart from works. There is no test of your works or anything else. But then they said in 1980, he went on a sabbatical and he studied the Puritans.
Mm, okay.
And when he came back, he went through about a five-year series on Matthew, and that led to the book, The Gospel According to Jesus.
Wow.
And they said he wasn't preaching Lordship Salvation until after he got back from his sabbatical.
So the Puritans, what exactly was, I mean, were they very reformed? I mean, what was their background?
Yeah, basically Puritans are English Calvinists or English Reformed people.
Okay.
And MacArthur wrote the foreword to a book called The Almost Christian Discovered by, I believe it's Matthew Mead.
Huh.
Read that book. It was written in like 1660. And the whole thing is about the fact that our feelings can deceive us or our works can deceive us. We might have works that really look like the works of a true Christian, but they're the almost Christian.
Yeah.
Our attitudes can deceive us. Our beliefs can deceive us. There's so many things. And so the whole point of it was you need to go through life questioning whether you're the almost Christian or the real Christian.
Wow. You can get either of these books on faithalone.org along with many other books. Check that out. Go and visit faithalone.org. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, believe in Jesus for life.
Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.